Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. So glad to have you here. Like my jacket?
Wow, didn't it?
It's my goal to become the Craig Sager of marijuana podcasters, so rest in peace, Craig Sager. Bow tie going. It's a real bow tie, too, folks. We're not messing around with any of that fake stuff. No siree. Speaking about not messing around, I don't know if you saw my Twitter feed earlier today. There was a great story in High Times that was called something like Walking Among the Giants, and it profiled the huge cannabis trees that they grow down in southern Oregon. And there's a big old picture guy on a stepladder trimming a 15, 20-foot cannabis tree. So it's pretty amazing. Check that out on High Times if you get the chance. And there's another story out that I got a problem with, and that is about Miley Cyrus. Our friend Steve Bloom out at Celeb Stoner has published the most recent story on Miley Cyrus. If you haven't heard, Miley apparently has given up weed. She no longer is pro-weed, and now she is dissing the rest of us. Yes, dissing the rest of us, folks. And this is from celebstoner.com, and she was apparently some interview she was doing. And in the report, according to Steve Bloom out there, to find it. Miley Cyrus stops smoking pot, knocks stoners. She was in a cover story in Billboard magazine. She said, quote,
"I like to surround myself with people that make me want to get better, more evolved, open. And I was noticing it's not the people that are stoned. I want to be super clear and sharp because I know exactly where I want to be," end quote.
Well, first of all, to be pedantic, it's not the people who are stoned, not people that are stoned. But I know your education probably wasn't the tops, but let's just break this down, what she's saying here. I like to surround myself with people that make me want to get better, more evolved, open. So maybe it's just the choice of people you're hanging out with, Miley, not necessarily people that are getting stoned. You know, there's a whole broad spectrum of us, don't you? Like, maybe you're just hanging out with assholes. Maybe that's the problem. Then she says, I was noticing it's not the people that are stoned who are stoned. So saying basically that people that want to get stoned don't want to get better, evolved, or open, which is, again, bullshit. And then finally, I want to be super clear and sharp because I know exactly where I want to be. Well, yeah, clear and sharp is a matter of moderation. You notice that I don't smoke weed or do dabs before doing the news. I got to do a 5-minute cold news read. So, no, I want to be clear and sharp. Then after 420, I smoke some weed, right? It's a matter of timing. And maybe, you know, being a young person, you're 24 now, started smoking apparently when you were 18. Maybe this is just a function of youth and we should cut you a little bit of slack. But as far as I'm concerned, from now on, that Miley Cyrus is dead to me. The only Miley Cyrus I care about is this Miley Cyrus. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's my chick. That is a early picture of Miley Cyrus, my blonde chicken. She's like 3 times that big now. She's huge. Sits on my shoulder, eats out of my hand. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have a pet chicken. It's the damnedest thing. Who'd have thought I'd ever become a chicken farmer? Anyway, coming up on the show today in hour 2, More news about marijuana. We're going to talk a little bit about a new report. Bureau of Justice Statistics has put out this report, Indicators of School Crime and Safety for 2016. But the prominent finding in there for us has to do, of course, with whether or not legalization has caused the kids to use more of the devil's lettuce. We've also got news. We'll do some roundup from around the states. I'll update you on that California Assembly bill on banning marijuana edibles that could appeal to children. And we've got also the Delaware Senate, Florida regulators, Rhode Island, Nevada, Virginia, Minnesota, New York, West Virginia, and Texas. A lot of states that are moving forward here. Also, an update on a story we told you about yesterday out of Mobile, Alabama, where the mayor there had proposed a decriminalization policy to allow police to not make arrests for marijuana possession. The city council now has deferred action on that proposal. Also, we have a deferred action in Wichita, Kansas, where their city council has deferred action on an ordinance to lower marijuana penalties in that city. We'll keep you abreast of what's happening at the local, state, national, and international level as best we can with our partners at MarijuanaMoment.net. Make sure you go to MarijuanaMoment.net and subscribe to Tom Angel's daily newsletter. It's where I get my news, where you should get yours. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stick around.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb and licensed by the City of Portland.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the conservative agenda, minus the hypocrisy.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for Police for Reform with Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Hello, Mr. Man.
Hi.
I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. Just adjusting a few things because I got a new picture for you. My roommate came running down the stairs. Oh my God, I forgot to send you this picture. So here you go. If you're curious about how Miley looks now, there's me and Miley Cyrus, our chicken. One of four chickens. We also have a Lady Gaga, a Jennifer Aniston, and a Rihanna. But Miley is the most people-friendly. She definitely loves people. There she is sitting on my shoulder and pecking, I believe, at my lips. So yes, she's beautiful. Let me zoom in there just a little bit. If you'd like to see just how big she's become, I can that photo just a little bit. Here we go. There you go. There's Miley Cyrus losing her down, starting to get her feathers. And as the weather heats up here in the Pacific Northwest, we'll begin to have our chickens outside because
actually quite stinky.
All right, let's get to some marijuana news. Bureau of Justice Statistics has a report out. Indicators of school crime and safety for 2016. And some of the preliminary data show that there were 48 school-associated violent deaths from 2013 to 2014. In 2015, among students aged 12 to 18, there were 841,100 non-fatal victimizations at school and 545,100 non-fatal victimizations away from school. In 2015, about 21% of students 12 to 18 reported being bullied at school during the school year. And of 804 total hate crimes reported on college campuses in 2014, the most common type of hate crime was intimidation, followed by destruction, damage, vandalism, and simple assault. So this is a report that's on school crime and safety. So that's its primary findings that they're going to tout. But you dig into this report, and what you find is the Department of Education telling us that legalization of marijuana has really had no effect on the teen use of marijuana in the United States, either in the states that have legalized or the ones that have not. And, of course, this is echoing what we're hearing across the board from Washington, from Colorado, from Oregon, is no statistically significant change in the use of marijuana by youth. And it stands to reason. If you really think about it, for years and years and years, kids have had easy access to marijuana. Anybody that's wanted to smoke marijuana as a young person can find someone, can find a guy, can get access to it and use it. How would putting that into adult-regulated stores that check ID increase their access to marijuana? Now, I've had people say, well, Russ, you know, we have legal weed and, you know, we have legal alcohol, and everybody knows when they were kids, they used to find a guy to sneak into the store and buy some alcohol. Like, yes, had to find a guy, which is what teenagers do now when they want marijuana. They find a guy. Now, are they going to find a guy who's growing the plants in his basement and treating him with Eagle 20 and not flushing him very well and ripping him off on the weight? Or are they going to find a guy who then goes to a pot shop and shows ID and then goes to a clerk and pays the state taxes and gets a product that's tested and regulated and then gives it to those kids? Because in addition to the kids who are sneaking around and getting the weed, getting something that's tested and verified and guaranteed, we're also putting their guy through the gauntlet of going through an ID check and dealing with a clerk and dealing with security cameras and all of that, that increase the chance that we can bust that guy for being a straw purchaser or a supplier to minors. How often does the guy that the teenager goes and deals with now on the illicit market, how often is that guy being filmed by security cameras, having his ID checked, having some sort of record of purchases that have been made, and how often? No, nothing we do is ever going to stop a person who's determined from getting their hands on weed from getting their hands on weed. But the idea that legalization is somehow going to make it easier for kids to get weed, when for the past 42 years, we've asked them, how easy is it to get weed? And 80% of them to 90% of them say, it's easy, fairly easy to get weed. Like, how are we going to make it any easier? How was putting it in adults-only stores that check ID going to increase the ease higher than 80%? Higher than the 90%, which was the peak? How is it going to get any worse by regulating it, taxing it, and putting it in stores that check ID? That's the primary thing we're finding from the legalization of marijuana. And this report from Bureau of Justice Statistics is just underscoring that for us. This, what about the children scare? One of the few scares they've got left. What about the children? Oh my God, we've got to restrict what adults might do because what about the children? One of the last scares they've got left, and it's beginning to fall on deaf ears. There were many, I think, on the fence, kind of reticent to support changes in reforming marijuana laws, that after Colorado and Washington passed in 2012, took a wait and see approach. Let's see what happens. Maybe the sky will fall. Maybe terrible things will happen. 2013 passed, and 2015, and 2015, and 2016. 5 years later, they find themselves looking around at Colorado and Washington, and yeah, they heard some stories about, you know, some edibles, and maybe they heard some stories about some auto fatalities. But then they tried to find the actual bodies, tried to see, you know, what's the act, and didn't find, and found that lacking. And they looked around and found that really not much changed in Colorado or Washington, aside from the state raking in tax money hand over fist. And that's why we're seeing these Gallup polls, these Pew Research polls, these CBS News polls topping 55, 60% support nationwide for marijuana legalization. Only people left who muster any opposition to this are over the age of 65 and Republican. Your Fox News demographic is the last bastion of reefer madness prohibition mindset. And even that's starting to fade away, partially from natural attrition. They're dying. But as more of their senior friends begin discovering the benefits of cannabis, as more of these older people realize, wait a minute, it's not just Chong smoking a joint, but cannabis is also a salve, a medicine, a cream, a spray, an inhaler, a cookie that we've been demonizing and rejecting this wonderful source of relief simply because of our hatred of smoking and the dirty looking joint and the greasy fingers and the mustachioed faces that are put on TV day after day after day in the stock footage. I've seen this same guy on CNN smoking a raggly little pinner joint in a stock footage shot for the past 8 years now. So this is the image that continues to be maintained among some people. There's something unseemly about it, that there's something dirty, something low class about marijuana. Now, we don't want to see it go the other direction. We don't want to see marijuana become gentrified and rarefied where it's only for the elite. Don't think that's possible. It is a weed. It will always, always be available. We will always be smoking it. There's nothing you can do to stop it. But now as we see this, what about the children scare with the gummy bears being brought up again to try to restrict and retard the development of marijuana legalization. It's great to have these studies coming out saying in black and white that it's not changing what's happening with the kids. And the other thing that's fun about this too, some of the other stats that they chart on this, in addition to how often the kids are using marijuana, they ask them their perceptions of it. So they ask them, do you disapprove of people that smoke marijuana? Do you think they're bad people? Smoke pot. And they ask him, how harmful do you think it is if you regularly smoke pot? And the answers to these questions have been changing in a way that was predicted by the opponents of drug reform. They're actually right on this one. As we've legalized, as we've medicalized, fewer kids think regularly smoking pot is a nasty, evil, bad thing. And fewer kids think smoking pot regularly is a terribly dangerous thing. Their perception of risk and their acceptance of it have changed. Their perception of risk has declined and their disapproval of it has declined. But the thing they predicted would happen because of that hasn't happened. They predicted, oh, as the kids think it's more safe, more of them will do it. And they predicted, oh, as the kids approve of it more, they'll do it more. It'll send the wrong message to the kids, we were told. It'll send the message that pot smoking's okay and it's harmless and everybody should do it. And the next thing you know, we'll have streets full of teenage pot zombies. And it didn't happen. And in fact, it so didn't happen that Nora Volkoff, the Dr. Nora Volkoff from National Institutes of Drug Abuse, was actually quoted as saying, we thought it would go up. It didn't go up. We can't explain it. It's blowing our mind. And the reason it's blowing their mind is because a lot of these people, a lot of these high-level PhD types have their heads up in the clouds, their nose in a book, their face on a screen.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Or you could put it like that. They have their heads in the clouds, and they don't know what real pot smokers are like. How the real cannabis consumer behaves. Well, that's why they got me and you to keep them straight. All right, we got to take a break. It's 4:20, and that means it's time for a safety briefing. You know, union rules and all. Be right back.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the gay agenda, only with better music.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every Friday for the Reefer Rock Review with Herb Thrasher from 420radio.org. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody, on Toker Talk Radio for this segment. I've got the latest information from Quest Diagnostics. And Quest Diagnostics, if you do not know, is the nation's leading drug test supplier for workplaces. And so they have this drug testing index that they do every year to let everyone know how many people and how often are failing their drug tests for work. And the headline coming from Quest Diagnostics is, increases in illicit drugs, including cocaine, drive workforce drug positivity to highest rate in 12 years, Quest Diagnostic Analysis finds. Cocaine, marijuana, and methamphetamine use up broadly among United States workforce across multiple specimen types and testing populations. Marijuana positivity increases significantly in 3 years. Also, with this data, they've got an interesting map. It's an interactive map for every, I think it's the congressional districts or how they down. Three-digit zip codes. Okay, so they're breaking this down by three-digit zip code. You can hover over your region and find out what your drug test positivity rate is. And it's darker green for more drug test positives. So guess what? Out here in the legal state of Oregon, there's some pretty high rates there. The Oregon rate, 6.3%, while the national average is 4.2. Looking here in Multnomah County, our zip codes are coming in at a 6.3%. 5%. So a lot of people failing their drug tests, and you can find out by going to DTIDrugMap.com. D Delta Tango India. DTIDrugMap.com. And you can find your zip code and zoom in to find out your drug testing rate. And the head of the drug testing people out at Quest Diagnostics, at least their spokesperson, is the Senior Director of Science and Technology. His name is, wait for it, Dr. Barry Sample. Yes, the company that tests the pee for your workplace, the head of them is Dr. Barry Sample. So anyway, Dr. Sample says, quote, "This year's findings are remarkable because they show increased rates of drug positivity for the most common illicit drugs across virtually all drug test specimen types and in all testing populations. Our analysis suggests that employers committed to creating a safe drug-free work environment should be alert to the potential for drug use among their workforce," end quote. First of all, folks, ain't no such thing as a drug-free work environment. Ain't no such thing. People on prescription drugs all over the place. People are taking over the counter of the drugs all over the place. People are going to lunch and drinking alcohol. People are going outside for breaks and smoking cigarettes. People are going into the break room and consuming caffeine and sugar. But don't tell me there's a drug-free workforce. It's basically you're talking about, do we have a druggy-free workforce? That's what you want. You want a druggy-free workforce. Druggy being defined as people who take the drugs you don't like. Those people. It's discrimination, plain and simple. But looking at their data are quite interesting. They say marijuana positivity increases dramatically over the last 3 years. Increases in Colorado and Washington double the national average. Colorado and Washington, the first states in which recreational marijuana use was legalized, the overall urine positivity rate for marijuana outpaced the national average in 2016 for the first time since the statutes took effect. The increase was more pronounced in Colorado, which increased 11% in 2015 versus 2016, than in Washington, which increased 9% in 2015 versus 2016. The national positivity rate for marijuana in the general U.S. workforce and urine testing increased 4%, from 2.4% to 2.5%. So 2.5% of people that go in to take a workplace drug test fail that workplace drug test for marijuana. 2.5%. So that's 1 out of 40, right? 1 out of 40 people fails their workplace drug test for marijuana. Now, we know from self-report surveys in the United States that around 8% of the people smoke marijuana monthly. Interesting. We know in states like Vermont and Colorado, more than 1 out of 7 people in Vermont over the age of 12 and 1 out of 3 between 18 and 25 are smoking pot monthly. In Colorado, it's 1 out of 6. Of all people 12 and older, 1 out of 6 are smoking pot monthly. So let's think about that for a second, folks. You got states where 1 out of 6 to 1 out of 7 people are smoking pot monthly. You got a nation where it's about 8% are smoking pot monthly. That's 1 out of 16? 1 out of 12. 12 times 8 is 70. Yeah, 1 out of 12. You got a nation where 1 out of 12 people are smoking pot monthly, but only 1 out of 40 are failing a workplace drug test. Makes me think that there's a whole lot of people that smoke pot that are not getting caught by the tests. Regardless of the positivity rate increasing, it's not even coming close to catching all of us that are really smoking pot. Nowhere near. And we know the drill. And what's really frustrating about the whole drug testing charade is the employers know we smoke pot. We know we smoke pot and we fake the pee tests. And they know that we stop smoking pot for a while to get past the pee tests. And really what it's come down to is We don't mind, and I've heard this from employers in one form or another, is that they really don't mind if you're a pot smoker. The drug test is really just to see how committed a pot smoker are you. Are you such a committed pot smoker you can't pass a P test? Is it so important to you that you just can't give it up for 2, 3, 4 weeks, drink a lot of water, pass the test? That's what it's really come down to, is they just want to see. It's, in a sense, it's kind of like a loyalty test, isn't it? Kind of like a loyalty test. Can you prove that you love your paycheck so much that you're willing to alter your personal private behavior in a way that's pleasing to us and has absolutely no bearing on your work and this job at all? Just a loyalty test. It's just a way of proving that, gotcha, they got the control over you. And that's really part and parcel of American employment as it is. I mean, think about our healthcare system and how our healthcare is tied to our employment. And this really ties into weed, if you think about it, because what is it that they don't like about medical marijuana? It's not that it's a plant that cures all these things. Shit, they love that. New products. Awesome. If weed were something they had found in the Amazon rainforest and had never been discovered before, and they took it to their labs and they started oh my God, this, it kills tumors and it helps appetite and it quells nausea and it helps anxiety and it helps rebuild brain neurons for dementia patients, and like all the stuff they'd find about cannabis, they would just be drooling at the potential third, fourth quarter profits that'd be coming up, and the patents they could get on this, and the medications they could create, and the new product lines. Oh, they would just be in heaven if they'd found this just last year in the rainforest. Problem for them is humanity's had cannabis for thousands of years, and the weed, and it grows everywhere, and it can even be grown indoors. That's the problem for them. They don't mind that it's a plant that heals all this stuff. They mind that they can't barcode it, bark it up 4,000% and make a whole bunch of profit off it. And so when it comes to this idea, you know, when we're talking about our healthcare system in America being tied to our employment, so many people I know have worked shitty jobs and stayed for terrible bosses for far too long, because they had no choice, because the healthcare is tied to the work. I can't leave my job or else I die or I get really sick. And I know people say, oh, but you got COBRA. Yeah, have you looked at what that costs? That's not healthcare. That's really just the stick they use to beat you back into staying at the employer. Oh, yeah, you want to quit? Okay, well, here's what your healthcare will cost. But we'll give you health care, wink, but this is what it'll cost. A lot of people can't deal with that. So when we introduce medical marijuana into the mix, where a person can start taking control of their own health care, where they used to be paying for this prescription medication that they just had to have for their pain or their anxiety, their nausea, or whatever it might be, and they discover medical cannabis works as well or better, well, now that's starting to free those chains, starting to break those chains, right? Starting to break the chain of healthcare tied to employment, that my health is tied to me slaving away for this boss man. So I get that guaranteed paycheck with the healthcare in it. Otherwise, I'm fed to the sharks out there and have to fend for myself. Wait a minute, I got this life raft of marijuana. I've got cannabis. I can treat myself. Maybe I don't need to stay with the boss. Maybe I can take care of myself. Maybe I can start that business I wanted to start. Maybe I can go to that vacation spot I always wanted to go to. Maybe things don't have to be the way they are. Folks, that's what this is all about. That's what all this prohibition and drug war and fighting against marijuana and everything, all the restrictions on medical patients, all of the CBD-only laws, all the ridiculous you can only grow three plants at home stuff. That's what it all boils down to, man. It boils down to how cannabis upsets the dominant paradigm. It upsets the capitalist paradigm. It upsets the healthcare paradigm. It upsets the idea of raping nature for continual unchecked growth. It upsets a whole lot of apple carts. That's why there's such these death throes from the prohibitionist dinosaurs as they sink into the tar pits, is they know that this radical change is coming, that this radical reformation in how we approach many aspects of our life is coming, and that cannabis is a huge part of it. Makes us think. And like George Carlin said, they want you dumb enough to run the machines, and or they were smart enough to run the machines and dumb enough to accept your lot in life. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stick around.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at hempinc.com.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Shark Sessions from The Marijuana Show. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barack has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, folks, welcome back. And in this segment, I got to talk about the politics of the day. So we're going to go off the war path a little bit. The segment where I talk about something other than the drug war. And it's because I'm an American. I love my country. I served my country. I was in the National Guard. I took an oath to preserve, protect, and defend this Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And, of course, our Constitution is under attack like never before with the election of Donald Trump and the installation of his administration. And the latest story out of the Washington Post just shows you, you know, it used to be that we'd, you know, make fun of the Democrats for being spineless. Spineless Democrats, they'd always retreat to Democrats' cave, right? But now it appears the Republican Party is the one lacking a spine. And the level to which they're stooping and the hypocrisy they're willing to entertain to continue to back Donald Trump just so they can keep their goals of getting tax cuts for the rich and, I don't know, installing another anti-choice Supreme Court justice, has them clutching the mantle of the spineless party from the Democrats. And this story is amazing. It involves Speaker of the House Paul Ryan and the then majority leader in the House, Kevin McCarthy. And it followed, there was this meeting that followed the a meeting with the Prime Minister of Ukraine. And of course, Ukraine, Russia annexed Crimea. Ukraine is, you know, pushing back against this creeping authoritarianism coming from Vladimir Putin and Russia. So there was a meeting where Paul Ryan and McCarthy had met with the Ukrainian Prime Minister. And then afterwards, Paul Ryan and McCarthy go back to speak with some other representatives, including Representatives Rogers, Scalise, and Patrick McHenry, among others, according to the Post. Paul Ryan starts talking about his meeting with the Ukrainian Prime Minister. Representative Rogers asks, how are things going in Ukraine? And so Paul Ryan says it's difficult. The Russians are firing shells into Ukrainian territory. And the Prime Minister described Russian tactics that include, quote, financing our populace, financing people in our governments to undo our governments. Ryan said Russia's goal was to turn Ukraine against itself. And so in the context of the discussion about Ukraine and how the government of Vladimir Putin was financing populist opposition leaders within Ukraine to try to divide the left, sound familiar, in the Ukraine, Paul Ryan says, maniacal. And guess who's the only one taking a strong stand up against it? We are, end quote. Rogers disagreed, quote, we're not, end quote, she said. That's when McCarthy brought the conversation about Russian meddling around to the DNC hack, Donald Trump, and Representative Dana Rohrabacher. Now, this is where there's a little bit of a weed involvement, because Dana Rohrabacher, of course, is a Republican from Orange County, California, who famously admitted he uses a medical cannabis salve product. I broke that story that appeared in the Washington Post, and I was the one that got the recording of it. Rohrabacher also has been a staunch defender of Vladimir Putin and Russia. So McCarthy says with a laugh, quote, I guarantee you that's what it is. The Russians hacked the DNC and got the opposition research that they had on Trump, end quote. And then here's the quote that is rocking the political world right now. The Republican majority leader, McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy says, quote, There's two people I think Putin pays, Rohrabacher and Trump, end quote. Then there's some laughter. And then McCarthy adds, quote, swear to God, end quote. And Paul Ryan says, this is an off the record, end quote. Then Ryan adds, quote, no leaks, all right? This is how we know we're a real family here, end quote. Representative Scalise said, that's how you know that we're tight. And Paul Ryan added, quote, what's said in the family stays in the family, end quote. So remember me yesterday talking about how Trump's administration and the GOP were starting to act like the mob? Jeez. And then the Washington Post prints this, that there's this conversation. They say, oh, this is all off the record. We think Trump is in the pocket of Vladimir Putin and maybe Dana Rohrabacher. Swear to God, nobody leak this. Don't leak this. This is how we're a family. Code of Omerta, right? Code of the family. We have been taken over. This country and the Republican Party is basically no more than a organized crime family at this point. They're even using the terminology. So, as if this story wasn't bombshell enough, this happened a year ago. This was like during the campaign a year ago that they were. Leaders in the House were speculating that Donald Trump was on Russia's payroll a year ago, and they did manage to keep this quiet. They did quite well keeping it in the family because we haven't heard about this for a year. So they were confronted about this. Paul Ryan was. His spokespeople were confronted about this. saying that they had had reports that there was this quote from Kevin McCarthy saying that Trump might be under Vladimir Putin's payroll. Matt Sparks, a spokesman for McCarthy, said, quote, "The idea that McCarthy would assert this is absurd and false." And Brendan Buck, a spokesman for Paul Ryan, said, quote, "That never happened," end quote. And then the Washington Post said, well, okay, but we've got a recording and we're going to put that in the story. Oh, suddenly, oh, the story changed. Oh, you have a record. There's a tape. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well. Buck, speaking for the GOP House leadership, said, quote, "This entire year-old exchange was clearly an attempt at humor. No one believed the majority leader was seriously asserting that Donald Trump or any of our members were being paid by the Russians. What's more, the speaker and leadership team have repeatedly spoken out against Russia's interference in our election, and the House continues to investigate that activity," end quote. And Sparks, the spokesperson for McCarthy, said, quote, "This was a failed attempt at humor," end quote. Well, it's not very funny. You getting your comedy lessons from Governor Huckabee? Failed attempt at humor. In the context of what was going on, after a discussion with the Ukrainian prime minister about how Russia is funding elections to their favor, the House leader, the House majority leader says, "I think the ones on Putin's payroll are Trump and Rohrabacher." And then when laughed at, follows that up with a serious swear to God. A failed attempt at humor. It's just a 23 Republican gap in the House, folks. The lead of the Republicans is 23. If you got 23 Republicans that could be convinced that the United States is more important than their own damn party, 23 Republicans is all it would take, as long as all the Democrats were all together. That's a big if. All the Democrats plus 23 Republicans is what it would take to begin articles of impeachment against Donald Trump. And there are plenty of articles for impeachment, plenty of pieces of evidence. The most recent of which is this Trump bragging about intelligence sources in the Oval Office with the Russian ambassador, who is the guy that is at the center of all this Russia stuff that got Michael Flynn having to resign and the connections with all Paul Manafort and all the rest of this. The guy. And you ban the American press from being in there, but the Russian press is in there. And the most the fun development that happened today is now Vladimir Putin is trolling Donald Trump. When Trump was saying, "Oh, well, that's not the way that meeting went down," etc., with the Russian guys, Trump or Putin now is saying, "Hey, I will provide transcript. We have transcript. We will provide transcript." It's just masterful what's going on, at least if you look at it from the evil genius perspective. It's what Vladimir Putin has been able to do in our American politics is far better, far easier than having to actually, muster up troops and invade and take everything by force. Far easier to just use money and our own corruption against us. And so far it's working. So far it's working. And I just hope that the people begin to recognize what has happened in this country, that we are the frog in the pot, but the water's getting hot real quick these days. I still believe that if enough pressure is brought to bear and enough Republicans in risky districts, in close districts, begin to feel they're going to lose in 2018, that the House could return to being controlled by Democrats, and especially with just a 2-senator majority in the Senate, if the Republicans begin to believe that there's some Senate seats they could lose, if they begin to look at the possibility of Donald Trump being all alone against a Democratic Congress, I believe that the Republicans would bring articles of impeachment just to save their own sorry asses. And they'd have to do it in enough time so that the whole stink of the impeachment process doesn't hover over the Republican Party throughout the election season. And that election season increasingly begins earlier and earlier. We're talking, you know, February 2018, January 2018, they're going to start running for their House elections. So it's May of 2017 right now. And impeachment articles and all the trial and all that stuff takes some time. Who knows? If this starts to get even worse than it is now, and it's pretty bad by my estimation, worst I've ever seen in my lifetime following presidential politics, we could actually see an impeachment happen just for the Republicans to save their own ass. And they'd have to do it quick enough so that the impeachment serves them well, that they'd look like the ones who did put their country above their party. But they're the ones that rode to the rescue. Democrats, I can see this happening, actually. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up with some lightning round news on marijuana reform in the United States. Stick around.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the UK Cannabis Chronicle from the UK Cannabis Social Clubs. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are just closing up shop here, 54 after the hour, and time for our MarijuanaMoment.net lightning round. You can get all the latest news on the MarijuanaMoment.net newsletter. Check it out at MarijuanaMoment.net. It's absolutely free. It comes to your inbox every morning, and it's got all the news you can use to help end adult marijuana prohibition. Let's go. We start in the state of Washington, where the governor there, Jay Inslee, signed a bill to remove barriers to seed and clone sales and create an organic certification program, among other changes. In California, the assembly voted 78-0 to approve a bill to ban marijuana edibles that could appeal to children. All right, this is the one I was talking about earlier. 78-0. Nobody could oppose this thing, right? Who wants to be on the side of, I'm pro kids eating marijuana edibles? Like, that's never going to get opposed. But again, it's just going to come up with stupid regulation that restricts the choice for us adults for something that kids wouldn't even be able to get to because it's in a store that's behind walls you have to show ID to get to. The only way kids get a hold of these gummies is through inattentive and irresponsible parents. Do something about inattentive and irresponsible parents, not the product that they're inattentive and irresponsible about. You ban the marijuana gummies. You haven't cured the irresponsible, inattentive parent who might leave something else out for their kids to get into. Let's deal with the problem, not the symptom. Let's move on. The Delaware State Senate failed to advance a bill to expand the state's medical cannabis program, including by adding new qualifying conditions. That is a shame to hear. The qualifying conditions in question here in the Delaware bill for expanding medical marijuana failed to win passage after 10 lawmakers in the 21-member chamber abstained from voting. Couldn't be bothered to vote on this. They were going to add debilitating anxiety as a qualifying condition, which includes generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, and social anxiety. They also said that this could provide help to people with PTSD as well. 10 Delaware senators couldn't be bothered to offer an opinion on such a thing. Oh, it did not pass. In Florida, regulators there have ordered a dispensary to stop selling whole plant marijuana. Yes, it's according to a story in the Associated Press. Florida's Department of Health ordered a Quincy-based dispensary to quit selling a medical cannabis product that could potentially be broken down and made into pot that could be smoked. The company is called Trulieve, and they sell whole flower cannabis meant for vaping at 5 retail dispensaries and through home delivery. Department of Health authorized them to sell sealed vaporizer cups containing marijuana, but said that the cups can be removed with minimal effort. The caps can be removed with minimal effort and cannot be reattached. For tobacco use only, I have read the terms and conditions. Come on, man. You sell someone a cup of weed and you say, oh, that's like a Keurig cup, right? You can only vaporize it. Don't open that cup and then smoke it. So this is, once again, I talked about this on a previous show, how regulators want to pretend they're doctors. They think they know what's best, and no, we can't have anybody smoking the weed. So they've been banned from doing so, and I'm sure there's got to be a legal battle over this, because I believe the Florida law allows for whole plant access. It just says you can't smoke it. Now, obviously, you give people whole plant access, they're going to smoke it. But under the law, if they're not smoking it, having that whole plant is perfectly legal. So why couldn't it be legal to sell someone that whole plant? All right, let's move on. The Rhode Island House Judiciary Committee approved a bill to create a marijuana legalization study commission. The House Speaker says he supports this approach instead of ending prohibition this session. Judges just barely give that an approval. There was some doubt. They weren't quite sure. I don't know what we need to study. What is it we need to study now? This is always the fallback for these guys. Oh, well, we need more research. Need more study, need more research. We've only got 2 states that have been doing it for 5 years and 3 other states that have been doing it for 2 years, 1 year. We don't have enough information yet. We've only got 30 states that have medical marijuana. We only got some of them states have had medical for 2 decades. We just don't know enough yet. We got to do some more study. That's all the time we got, folks.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
We're Irwin here at Delta 9 Studios. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You're
you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.